He's already been dead and it's messed with his head. It's John's post-life crisis.
Okay, we're live. Welcome to John's post-life crisis live tonight with a Wisconsin dude. I know that I normally do these things on Monday nights, but on Monday night, I had the pleasure of trying to replace new firewalls at a customer site and tear apart a network, which went fabulously horrible. So sometimes life, real life, takes over in these situations. But in a couple of minutes, we're going to bring in Tyler Hunt from Bucky's Fifth Quarter so that you guys could be nice to him. You're probably nicer than you are me. You know what? We'll just go ahead and bring him in because hello, Tyler.
Hello, John. How are you today?
Not too bad, although I noticed my sound isn't coming through my headphones, so I haven't learned this stuff worth a damn yet.
It's always something, right?
It is. I got to get used to this. This is Restream, what I'm using, and sure. I like it. I haven't figured out everything about it yet. I'm one of those people that just dives into stuff and doesn't always test things like you should. But we're here to talk about Wisconsin football.
Absolutely. And we actually, I'm excited to talk about it.
Okay. Where should we start? Should we start at the beginning of the 2021 season?
Oh, we have to bring that back up? That was a dark time for Wisconsin football for about a month. But yeah, we can start there.
Okay, so at the beginning of the 2021 season, you guys were not a very good football team. Let's see, you lost to Penn State to start the season, 16-10, and which wasn't a horrible game. And I mean, Penn State's, I don't know, I would think that Penn State is kind of a good team, but they haven't, they're kind of roughly in the same boat in Nebraska. No, they're not. They haven't won as many games as they probably should have, but you lost to them. You beat Eastern Michigan. You got beat up by Notre Dame in a game that looked a lot worse than it was. If I remember that game, was fairly close, and you just imploded in the last, like, 6 minutes of the game, didn't you?
Yeah, it was actually, I believe, tied heading into the fourth quarter and ended up, I think, 41-13. It was pretty ugly there at the end because I left and it was still relatively close. And all of a sudden I looked up and checked my phone on the way out after Wisconsin attempted like a 55 yarder to try and pull within a couple scores. And next thing you know, it was 41-10 or something like that. So it was a pretty ugly game, but really just one bad quarter imploded them for sure.
And Michigan beat you 38-17. If I remember that game, turnovers.
Yeah, that one was, I would say the Penn State game, going back to that one, was a game that they probably should have won. Statistically, they dominated and they were without. Now you look back at it, I think if they played Penn State again, they'd roll them because they were without Chenal and Braylon Allen, the new running backs, are essentially your two best players. So you probably win that game. But Michigan just kind of beat up on them. It kept it close for a half, but then Wisconsin just offensively fell apart and the turnovers really killed them. And Graham Mertz got banged up in the game. Not that he was playing at all well, but that certainly hurt because the backup for Wisconsin isn't quite up to snuff, at least in my opinion, compared to even Graham Mertz's play at that time. So,
well, since then you've been on what, six game winning streak? Seven? Is it seven?
It'd be six now, I believe, going into Nebraska. three to start and 7-3 now. So.
So it could be seven soon. So
we'll see.
You're sitting at what is it, 5-3 on top of the Big Ten West? Yeah, 5-2 in the Big Ten and 7-3 overall, but you're on top of the Big Ten West. You own the tiebreaker over Iowa because you beat them up 27-7. I think I watched that game and Iowa's offense could not do anything. And they
didn't do anything.
Yeah, you didn't give them turnovers. I think didn't they have like 31 yards at half or something?
Yeah, that game was, I mean, Wisconsin's defense had some good games, but man, that game, they were just, it looked like they were playing a different sport than what Iowa was trying to do. That one was a fun one. It's always good to beat and fun to beat Iowa. And that one was a nice, cheery one for sure.
What is it that everybody hates Iowa?
You know, I don't necessarily, I used to live in, I actually went to school in Iowa. So I have a special place in my heart for the state of Iowa. It gets a little bit of a bad rap, I think, but they're rivals. So you kind of just have to by default. That's kind of the way you grew up. But then you go to school and there's a lot of Hawkeye fans in your school. And all of a sudden you grow a soft spot for them. I'm sure Nebraska fans don't like to hear that, but I think we're kind of common enemy of Nebraska and Wisconsin is that great state of Iowa. So,
well, this upcoming game, I read your bet about keys to beating Nebraska. One of them was contacting Adrian Martinez.
Now, yeah,
go ahead.
He's had some good games against Wisconsin, I would say. I mean, I know it didn't play last year, but I mean, I remember the first year, it would have been his freshman year, I think. He was running all over the place, and I kind of forgot about it, but he put up some huge numbers against a Wisconsin defense that was pretty good that year. So he's certainly going to be a different test. I know Nebraska fans probably don't love the way he's played, but he's played pretty well against the two contests against the Badgers for sure.
So you talk about your defense. I mean, Wisconsin's defense is kind of – they've been good at the beginning of the season. They've been good all season. They've been putting pretty tough situations early in the season. But who are the guys that Nebraska fans should watch, given that Nebraska fans are actually going to watch this game Saturday?
Yeah, I think this defense kind of starts with the inside linebackers in Jack Sanborn, who's been with Wisconsin a couple years, and Leo Chenal. He's a year younger, but he's really elevated his game to be, I think, the best overall player on the Wisconsin defense. He's just been an absolute monster. He was out that he was one of the players that was out that first game against Penn State, and it turned out that was a pretty big loss because he's just been everywhere, just a bowling ball.
Chenal.
So him and Sanborn and the inside linebackers, I think those are they're two of the best inside linebackers in the country, and it kind of all starts with them. But the outside linebackers have played really well as well. The defensive line's been really good. That was one of the areas you thought maybe would be a concern, and they've been great. The secondary's been great. It really comes down to, I think it doesn't really matter at this point, the guys that are out there. I think Jim Leonard's defense and system just works so well. I hope and pray that Wisconsin can hang on to him for as long as possible, because I think he's the cog that really keeps the motion going for this entire team right now. I mean, the offense has played better, but this defense has just been unbelievable.
How is the secondary?
Secondary is good. They're experienced. They're guys that have played a lot of football. I mean, you got one super senior cornerback and another one that's played a lot of football. The safeties have both played a lot of football. They got a transfer in Colin Wilder from Houston, who's been with Wisconsin a couple of years, and then Scott Nelson, who's been with the Badgers for a couple of years. So it's been a really, really good unit front to back. I mean, there really isn't like a weakness or a hole, and I think that's what makes this group so good, is that they've got just front to back talented and playing well all season long.
Okay, at the beginning of the year, I kind of started the YouTube thing really heavily this year, just because, I don't know, I guess I decided I wanted to start my own cult with the hair and everything. And plus, I was just angry about the Illinois game to start the season. And, the anger hasn't subsided. But when the season started, I have made comments throughout the season that the Big Ten West is not good, and there were no good teams in it. And, you know, Wisconsin is turning out to be a good team. We're going to get to that in a minute. First, tell us about the offense. Where I was going was the offensive line earlier in the season was kind of a mess, and they weren't gelling. They weren't working together very well. What has happened that has changed that?
Hasn't
changed.
Yeah, it has. It was weird early in the season for this group. The offensive line coach, Joel Rudolph, last year was the offensive coordinator, kind of went back to focusing on just offensive line this year. To start the season, they were kind of almost doing almost like a hockey shift where like three, four guys would sub out. And it wasn't working. And they did that for really the first three, four games, trying to figure out the right combo of guys to get this offensive line working. And it really was just a absolute mess. The guys just didn't have any cohesion, and finally they stopped doing that. And they settled on five guys, and they started to click. They got better each week over the course of the winning streak, and it's really helped. But the other big portion of that is, of course, the new running back in Braylon Allen that kind of came on the scene and certainly helped. But it's been a combination. I think everybody's kind of elevated their game, which has been huge. But that just settling on five guys and not rotating them in every other drive, surprisingly, that didn't work. We all kind of scratched our head when they kept trying it. They're like, maybe we just stick with five guys for a whole quarter. But it was literally like every other possession, the guys were coming in and out. It was a very strange tactic, but I'm glad that that's over and done with for sure.
Do we know what happened with Jalen Berger?
Not really. They've been pretty quiet about that one. It was a weird situation. He really didn't play. Coming into the season, you expected him to be the guy and didn't play really at all. He didn't play that first Penn State game, got in the Eastern Michigan game, and then all of a sudden just the situation, just never got back on the field. So it was really a weird one. There were rumors and speculations that he was sometimes, not being at practice. Don't want to say it's just what we've heard as kind of a prima donna and maybe hadn't really earned that right quite yet. But that was all speculation, and that's really all that they've ever got. So it was an odd situation, but thankfully it kind of worked out that it gave Braylon Allen a shot, and he's been unbelievable.
Okay. There's another crusty old guy that does our podcast with me, who is actually one of my best friends from college, all the way back in the 80s at the University of Nebraska Lincoln. But we had a discussion about Wisconsin on this week's episode, which actually doesn't come out till Friday. But in our discussion, we talked about the fact I brought up that Wisconsin has, they looked crappy and they became a good team. And Nebraska has been the same team the entire freaking season. I mean, we lost by one score all the time, and we've lost in score in the most by one score in the most maddening, just, tear your heart out ways. But one of the things we discussed was how did Wisconsin figure out where they were going to go and where they were going to do? And Todd, my co-host or my co-buddy on the podcast, said it's because they have a system and they know who they are and they have an identity. And I said, and my point was, I think that they have better coaches and their coaches are the thing. So we know that it's a combination of both, right? You have to have a coaches and you should have an identity. But if I forced him to pick one and argue the point, which one of those two things, coach versus identity, do you think mattered more to straighten out where Wisconsin was from the beginning of the season to now?
I'd probably lean more towards identity, and that, that this team knows they're not going to magically go out and all of a sudden start throwing the ball or running a spread offense and running an air raid and throwing it every down. This team is built to play defense and run the football and hopefully not make mistakes in the passing game. For better or for worse, they weren't going to be able to change that. So maybe that trickles into the coaching conversation where it got better and they got some things figured out. But if I had to pick one, I'd say it's that since Barry Alvarez came in and kicked the veer that they were running before him out of Wisconsin and made that change, they've really had the same kind of identity for decades now. And thankfully it's worked. I mean, I think there was criticism early in the season, and I think rightfully so. I think the coaching was a little bit poor early in the season, but you have to give kudos to them. They figured it out and tinkered with it and made the adjustments, and they've been playing a lot better over the last 6 weeks.
Barry Alvarez is gone, basically, right?
Yep. They had his honorary retirement party. Michigan. Well, I won't say he's ever fully gone. I think Barry right. could be around the program, like the Godfather, hanging around for years. But But yeah, he's officially, and at least in his title, retired.
Okay, his influence is still there. So Wisconsin will still be Wisconsin. Paul Chryst isn't suddenly going to go, well, I'd like to try some option or some spread.
I don't think so. I think Paul Chryst likes when everything's working the way he wants to, and I think they'll keep doing that as long as it's working. I think Wisconsin's done a little bit better job of changing some things up, you know, being a little bit modern and you know, going shotgun sometimes, stuff like that. But they're always going to be recruit the big in-state guys on the offensive line and run the damn ball. So,
all right, I'm going to bring up a question from chat. Big Red asks, how does the Wisconsin dude view the current and future trajectory of the Nebraska football game program? This is why we do this live, so people can ask questions. And I like doing it with outsiders because, you know, it's kind of like having a reality show where somebody looks at my family and goes, no, you got to quit drinking.
How do I view the current and future trajectory of Nebraska football program? I think that's a good question. I guess from an outsider perspective at Wisconsin, we've talked about, you know, making adjustments and things like that. I think that's what Wisconsin really did good in the year. I always come back to, in terms of trajectory, I know the conversation that we had yesterday on our podcast was about Scott Frost and, you know, the keeping, the firing and all that. I always come back to is there somebody better out there that I think you can land? I think you know, him being the homeboy and former Nebraska player, that always kind of carries a little bit more weight. It seems I was at least kind of surprised when I was writing up some posts at the record. I thought you guys had actually a little bit better record because it seems like you've been in every game. It just hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
But maybe it's better. But I guess the trajectory, it seems like they've, you know, offensively struggled, where maybe if that gets figured out, the way the defense is all of a sudden turned around. I think for me as a Wisconsin fan, I always looked at Nebraska and said, oh, they're soft defensively, just run the ball. But all of a sudden it seems like Nebraska's got a defense a little bit. So maybe you get the offense figured out and all of a sudden you're back to clicking and being competitive and, you know, going to bowl games and not, you know, these 3-7 seasons. So, that's maybe a little bit of a dancing around the answer because maybe I don't know exactly, but I think they're working their way towards being what they want to be, but might still be a little bit of a rebuild. But it seems like, you know, another year of Scott Frost, and I think maybe the jury is still out. So it's.
But here we're putting you on the spot again with Richard Weber asking, would Wisconsin keep a coach with Frost's record?
Ooh. That is a good question. It's kind of a weird, similar situation. I think you look at like Paul Chryst, if he had those type of years, you know, he's a former Badger, former player. So maybe you give him the benefit of the doubt for that one more year. I mean, I think in college football, you get one pay cut and fire some assistants, and then you get, you know, your second lease on life. And if that doesn't work in the next year, 2 years, then you're probably cutting ties. So I think if it was this roles reversed and this was Wisconsin, they'd probably say, you know, we'll give you another year, 2 years, and then we'll see where it's at. But, you know, with the start of the season, everyone was saying, you know, Wisconsin fans, you know, they were 1-3, and there were people clamoring for Paul Chryst to be gone, and Jim Leonard needs to take over because you can't lose him, which at that time, you know, I could understand the frustrations, but Paul Chryst has had a pretty good track record where they'd give him the benefit of the doubt. So I think, yeah, they'd probably retain Paul Chryst if they were in that situation. But yeah, it's certainly a heated debate between the two sides for sure.
Okay, Wisconsin. I'm the old crusty dude. Wisconsin was terrible for many, many years until Barry Alvarez came along. And now they're that program that continues to win the West. And honestly, it looks like you're going to win the West again this year because nobody else. I mean, this was a perfect year for somebody else to be good enough to take it. And not even Iowa is going to do that because their offense is so terrible. But is there a lot of tension in Wisconsin that you just can't get over that hump to, you know, the next level of greatness where you're winning the Big Ten? Or is it just like, okay, this is good enough? And
yeah, you know, I think there's certainly tension there that, you know, you want Lucas Oil Stadium is kind of a house of horrors where you go. I've went to the Wisconsin's been to the last three that they've been to. I went to in person, and it's like, you know what? I know what I'm getting into. I know this is going to be a heartbreaking loss at the end of the night, and it's going to be frustrating, but I'd rather be there than not be there. But you'd also like to maybe, you know, beat Ohio State one of these times. That Penn State Big Ten championship game, they were winning by 20 some points at halftime and end up losing, you know. It's just so, yeah, I think the frustration is certainly there to want to win some of those bigger games. I mean, during that losing streak for Wisconsin, they hadn't beat a ranked team in the last seven tries. So I think that was part of the frustration too that was mounting, is that we're good enough to beat maybe the, you know, they're really good at bludgeoning the teams they're supposed to bludgeon and then losing to the teams that they're supposed to lose to. And that's kind of what we've seen once again this year. So maybe they can get over the hump in this Big Ten championship game if they make it, but we'll see. I'll probably be at Lucas Oil if they get there, ready to have my heart broken again by Ryan Day and Ohio State.
I mean, if you were going to catch Ohio State, it needs to be this year because their defense is young, and next year they're going to be, they're already a really incredible football team, you know, at least offensively. They're missing that Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young guy, but their team is young, and next year, God help us all. They're going to be Alabama and probably more insufferable with them than some of the bitches already are. Okay, Wisconsin special teams. You're not very good.
No.
We're worse, but you're not very good either.
No, it's been pretty rough there. It's gotten better. I think everything's really gotten better over this winning streak. It's not necessarily that they're making big plays. You know, they're not getting big returns, but they're also just not making the glaring mistake, you know, the muffed punts, the missed field goals. Last year, the field goal kicker for Wisconsin and really over his entire career up until this year had been a struggle. He's actually been a lot better and very consistent this year. So that's kind of a nice wrinkle, but overall it's kind of been poor special teams at Wisconsin for a while now. They've always just kind of struggled in that area. Maybe it just doesn't get as much focus. They do have a special teams coach, but you know, if you remember the Rose Bowl last time Wisconsin played, they had a dropped punt led to a touchdown, same thing in that Big Ten championship. So it's been a couple years now where special teams similar to Nebraska this year has cost them games, and thankfully it's not making any mistakes right now, but it's always touch and go. You always hold your breath when somebody's back there punting to Wisconsin and you're hoping for that muff punt doesn't come. So.
Oh, let's take this one. Smooth some number. Also, what are the keys for us to win, especially on defense with JoJo Doman? JoJo Doman is out. JoJo Doman is a hybrid linebacker, you know, do everything guy who I think probably was Nebraska's best defender. He injured his hand in the Purdue game and had surgery, and his Nebraska career is over. But what are the keys for us to win? And by us, he means beloved Nebraska, just so you don't get confused there, Tyler.
For sure.
You know what? If you look at this game, what do you think Nebraska needs to do to win this game?
I think first and foremost, anytime you're playing Wisconsin, you've got to stop the run. I mean, you've got to, you know, hold this new running back, Braylon Allen. He's only 17 years old. He's ran for 100 yards. I think each week over the course of this winning streak, he's been unbelievable. You got to stop that, but you also probably have to hope for Graham Mertz to, you know, maybe have some of those turnover issues that he had early in the season, get a couple short fields. I mean, this team, when they're making mistakes like that, Wisconsin is much more beatable. And we've seen when they turn the ball over consistently, you know, a couple times. Mertz has had a couple interceptions over the course of this winning streak, but they haven't been as egregious as some of the other ones. So I think it comes down to taking care of the football and stopping the run, at least from a Wisconsin fans' perspective.
I want us to be – nobody knows what's going to happen with us. And I think one of the big keys to this game is how is the offense going to react? I mean, the defense didn't get their position coaches fired. So how is the offense going to react to going into the next two games without the position coaches that have been around them now for, you know, well, 4 years of Scott Frost if you're a four-year player? You know, Adrian Martinez talked about how much he cared for Mario Verduzco, our quarterback's coach, and he's gone. You could have a Wisconsin or a Nebraska offense that just walks on the field and doesn't give a damn about anything. I would hope that doesn't happen just because, you know, Nebraska has been amazingly frustrating, but.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
You know, it's kind of like watching a psycho in your family. It's interesting. You know what I mean? All the games are the most interesting games you could see from a team this year. They're just not wins. So I'd like to see a good game against Wisconsin. I think how we're going to do it is I think on offense we need to be really aggressive. I think Scott Frost has a good offensive mind. He just has this problem where he has this big stack of plays he wants to run. And instead of looking back and going, okay, well, they didn't stop that, so we're going to keep running it. He goes, no, we need to run this to us so I can see it run. You know, that kind of stuff. Because you think offensive coordinators do that sometimes. But I'd like to see Nebraska be really aggressive in the passing game, really aggressive in whatever misdirection plays we have in the book. Because I think, you know, Wisconsin's defense is pretty good. You with a guy like Chanel, you take him out of the game. You double team him, you read him, you option him. You know, maybe we can get you guys in an aggressive mode and then go around you. That's what I'm hoping to see on offense. But we have to stop the run. And I think you've seen from like the Minnesota game where Minnesota just, you know, it was small cuts at a time. They were perfectly happy to run their damn zone plays 83 times in that game, I think. You know, they were perfectly happy to get 4 yards a carry because that's Minnesota. They got ahead early, and if you don't get ahead of them early, they're just going to run the ball and pound, you know what I mean? And I think that's what you guys will probably have to do, or that's what you'll want to do too, is get an early lead and just keep pounding the ball. I don't know. What else we got for Wisconsin? Anything else we haven't talked about for this game coming up?
Let's see. We've talked the defense. We've talked offense. I guess we haven't talked a ton about the young running back, which he's kind of the next one in line. Like I mentioned, 17 really came out of the – he's actually a kid that they recruited, and you know, this spring they didn't know if he was going to play offense, defense. He played both ways in high school. They just said, you know, let's throw him at running back and try it because that's what we played in high school. And now all of a sudden he's, you know, winning Big Ten Player of the Week on offense. So his story has been pretty cool. And he looks like the next, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, the next guy in that line, which is always fun to see, especially so early in his career. So we'll see how that pans out. But otherwise, you know, it's the same old Wisconsin, really. I mean, run the ball, play defense. And stick to your style of game and see what happens. And I can't imagine you'll see anything really different from that from the Badgers this weekend.
We'll talk about one more thing and then I'll let you go. And that's the fans. The fans. When we first started playing, I've been running coordination for like 15 years, 16, I think, this year. But when we first started playing at Madison, I heard from so many Nebraska fans that went to a game in Madison and said they'd never go back because the fans were terrible and they were obnoxious and horrible. And I went to Madison for two games, which we both got our asses kicked. you know, the Melvin Gordon 409 yards in three quarters game. I was there for that.
Yeah, I was that one was pretty, at least from a Wisconsin fans perspective, was that was probably 1-2 and like the favorite memories of a in-person game is that and that Ohio State kick return for a touchdown and upset back in, it's probably been over 10 years now. So
you tell us about the Wisconsin fan base. I mean, you guys have the you have the jump around, but you also have that one cheer that nobody talks about. What is the eat shit, fuck you cheer?
Yes, the student section always gets a couple of those in as long as they're showed up. I mean, usually they don't show up until end of the first quarter because every Wisconsin game this year has been at 11 o'clock. So the college kids have to get a few more drinks in them before. So usually they're there second quarter or so. That cheer when it rumbles up is always fun to hear, but the fans have been, I remember the first year Nebraska played at Madison. I think there was kind of that that complex of Nebraska coming from the Big 12 and thinking they can just come into the Big 10 and be that premier program. So I think that maybe rubbed Badger fans the wrong way early, but thankfully, Wisconsin's had success. So hopefully they've tamed down and been nice. But I've always thought Nebraska fans that have came to Madison have always been very nice and respectful and enjoyed the game. I'd love to see how the tables would turn if Madison comes to Lincoln. I haven't been to a game there, but I need to get down there sometime and see what that's all about. So
We're known for treating opposing fans really well.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about that is we treat them better than we treat ourselves. Because you can, the whole keep Scott Frost, fire Scott Frost thing is one more reason for Nebraska fans to be at each other's throats. But if you go to Nebraska, everyone will love you.
Well, there we go.
It's kind of a weird thing.
Next year, I'll see if I can make that track to Lincoln. I've only been to one other Big Ten stadium. That was Ann Arbor, and I didn't enjoy that. So we'll see how we'll see how that goes.
You need to get down to Lincoln. If you're going to go to Lincoln sometime, let me know. Okay, here. Husker Chuck has a question. Husker Chuck asks, do Wisconsin fans ever go into a season thinking national championship, or is it more along the line of winning the conference?
I think they're close to expecting national championship. You want to be in maybe that playoff conversation going into the Big Ten championship, but I don't think you can necessarily expect a national championship or playoff berth when you haven't won the conference in, the last three times. I think if they got over that hump, all of a sudden you can get into that conversation. But I think Wisconsin fans, essentially, I think they want to get to the Big Ten championship with maybe one loss, and then you just have to get over that hump, and then you're in. I think every year, if you're one loss Big Ten champion, you're in. So it's just more, if you do one, you get the other. And so far, they just haven't been able to do that, or they've gotten there, with a couple losses and shot themselves in the foot. So I think they're close, and I think expectations are getting there that they want to get over that hump. But until they knock off the almighty giant in the East in Ohio State, It's hard to really expect that. You want it, but I don't think anybody should really realistically expect it until that happens, until the giant is slayed, and we'll see. You just kind of hold your breath and wait until December 4th and see if they can do it. This would be the year that they would do it, though. I mean, no expectations to do it. Faltered early, and then Ohio State comes out of a down year. So we'll see. We'll see for sure.
Mustrick asks, what does a Nebraska win do for Wisconsin's chances for the West? Well, you guys have to beat Minnesota. If you lose to us, you'll need to beat Minnesota, because right now you and Iowa are tied for the Big Ten West lead, and you have the tiebreaker over them on head-to-head. And below that, who is it? It's Minnesota and Purdue, right?
Yep.
So what happens?
I think if Wisconsin were to lose this weekend and Iowa were to win, I think Iowa would actually clinch it, because they have the head-to-head over Minnesota as well. But if Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin wins this weekend, they would need both Minnesota and Iowa to lose to clinch it. But if Nebraska were to win and Iowa were to win, it would be a trip to where Iowa City and the Hawkeyes, which I don't need to watch Ohio State take on Iowa. I think that would be a ugly, brutal game to watch. Just a slaughter.
It would be a felony against the nation. Yeah. Now, exactly. Nebraska plays Iowa last, and we are going to beat them because we need something. Yeah, you know, God needs to just, you know, some kind of karma thing. Okay, we'll do one more question with Tyler, and then we'll let him go. Did that work? Smooth comes back with, do Wisconsin fans hate Minnesota or Iowa more?
Ooh, that's good. I think Minnesota, that rivalry just really is strong. It runs deep. It's close, but I mean, Wisconsin's had a really good amount of success against both of them, but the year that they lost to Minnesota just was a dagger in your heart with listening to PJ Fleck and his row the boat, and them seeing them, anytime you see the opponent with the axe in their hand, it's always a tough stabbing and puts a sour taste in your mouth, because it's usually the last game of the year too. So you got to sit on it. Now Wisconsin's won, I think 15 of 16 against Minnesota. So it hasn't happened all that much lately, but when it did, it was a tough one to swallow for sure. So I would say Minnesota, a little bit more hatred than Iowa.
Plus Minnesota, those fans, if they get any modicum of success whatsoever, they become the most obnoxious people on the planet. They are terrible. They just suddenly become like, we're Super Bowl champs or something.
Exactly. God, the Vikings-Packers rivalry added into Wisconsin-Minnesota just makes the distaste for one another all that much more high, whereas Iowa doesn't necessarily have that NFL team to even add flames to the fire. So,
I live in Minnesota. I've been here since 1987. And I think during this past offseason, I wrote about Wisconsin for your site. And I described what the difference between Minnesota and Wisconsin are, because I've done a lot of work in Wisconsin, and I have to say the Wisconsinites are the happiest people in the nation.
You got all sorts of beer and cheese.
The reason why you're the happiest people in the nation, I tell people this. This is honest to God what I tell people when people ask me, what's the difference between Minnesota and Wisconsin? I say years ago, when Wisconsin started being settled, and they started forming towns, and you know, civilization arrived, and they started forming towns. Some guy in the town would go, hey, we need to start making rules for da 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 da. And somebody else would stand up and go, hey, buddy, you want rules? You need to go across the river, because they like rules over there. And then they, you know, that person would get run out of town, and they'd have to go across the river into Minnesota. And by over time, what happened was Wisconsinites are full of all these towns in the state that doesn't have a whole lot of rules. In Minnesota, we have rules for everything. Apparently so many rules that nobody here can ever enjoy themselves or have fun. And that's what I tell people about how the two states were founded and why Minnesota is full of people that are just angry and passive aggressive all the time. And Wisconsin's full of happy people that all have a neighborhood local bar where you can for go sure. get a bite to eat and a beer at the same time. So
absolutely.
Am I incorrect about any of that?
No, I think you're correct. I grew up in a small town of Wisconsin, and you got the place where you can get your beer for a couple bucks, and you can get a good meal and a fish fry on Fridays, and life is happy-go-lucky in those towns for sure.
All right, I think we're going to be done with you. I'm going to stick around for a few minutes just to see if anybody has any weird questions about Nebraska or basketball or anything like that. Thank you for coming on, Tyler.
Absolutely, John. You know, good talking to you.
We'll see what happens Saturday. We're not making predictions because I already did that for your podcast, and I did it on our podcast. So we'll let you go. Thank you. Take care of yourself, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Have a good one.
Wow. I'm figuring out how this stuff works. Okay. Somebody earlier asked about offensive coordinators. Let's see. Michael Warnick asks, who do you think might be a good pick for offensive coordinator? You know, I really haven't, looked at this for myself. I've been reading everybody else's articles about it. And I guess I really haven't looked at it before because right now it doesn't matter. We're still in season. And I'll be honest with you. When we're doing games and games are on, I get a lot of messages from people. Like I get texts. I used to get texts when I was on the field doing photography, and I would shut my phone off, and I get DMs from people where I'm watching games. And it infuriates me when people start talking about like the next season before this season is over, or they worry about the future before this right now has happened. You know, it's kind of like looking at, let's say like basketball. Okay. We're looking at our basketball team and they're trying to figure stuff out and they're trying to become a team. And people are like, oh, we're going to get killed in the Big Ten. Well, that hasn't happened yet. My God, let's live for now. I mean, I get forced into speculation because it's what we do when you're creating sports content quite a bit. But who would you think would be a good pick for offensive coordinator? Somebody, we have a Slack room that we use to communicate between the coordination writers, the coordination staff. And I see one of them just posted, Scott Frost is getting help on hiring the new offensive coordinator from Matt Davison. I don't think it goes too far beyond Davison. What I don't know is how much Trev Alberts is involved. From Steve Sipple, source Life in the Red podcast. Excuse me, my dog is being all grouchy. Go out there. I'm not really, you know, either Matt Davison can be a coach or stay the fuck out of the football program. Honestly, I like Matt Davison. I do think he does a really good job on the radio, but, you know, either Scott Frost is going to run the program or what's the point in keeping him around? Because it has to be somebody that works with Scott Frost, not Matt Davison. It's not Matt Davidson's ass is going to get fired next year for underperformance. Although, honestly, if Scott Frost gets fired, Matt Davidson needs to go with him. But I don't. Here's the whole thing with the offensive coordinator. You need to look at this way. Scott Frost has to replace a major part of his staff. All right. And any time you do that, you got to make a choice. If you want to be the CEO guy up here, you got to look down here and go, am I going to micromanage this guy? Am I going to say, okay, I hired an offensive coordinator. He can hire his own position coaches. Or am I going to hire them for him? Because you know that if you let him hire his guys, he's probably going to bring in guys that he's already worked with or he knows and he knows how to work with them. Whereas if you, as the CEO, pick the guys that are going to work underneath him, you have no idea if those guys are going to be able to work with the offensive coordinator or not. Are you going to spend half your season trying to get guys, come together and, try to work on their differences and figure it out in one season because that's what you have to keep your job. So right now, I'm not going to probably look too much at what offensive coordinator I'd like. I mean, I'd prefer somebody that kind of runs a spread power offense. I think I've mentioned like Urban Meyer's Ohio State offense. S.E. Smith says boiler up. You know, I'll say this, boiler guy. You know, earlier I said that Purdue was not a good football team, and Purdue has figured out how to become a decent football team. I'm not ready to say good yet. But they've become a decent football team. And the reason for that is I think Jeff Brohm knows what he's doing. He also, their defense was terrible last year. Bob Diaco, God help him. I don't know why anybody hires him for a DC, but he did. And he's figured out his defense, how to fix his defense this year. And, you know, Jeff Brohm's done a good job this season. So kudos to you, guy. And then the same guy says black and gold forever. What the hell is wrong with you, dude? So offensive coordinator, Scott Frost is getting help from Matt Davison. Yeah. I realize Scott Frost is probably a little overwhelmed doing all the coaching, but is he really any, is that any different than what he was doing before if his hands were all over the offense anyway? I don't get the Matt Davison piece. I really don't. I find that very disturbing. Somebody earlier asked, Okay, let's see if we come up. Oh, it's the smooth guy. He's asking all the questions here. What is the magic number Scott has to reach next year to keep his job? I don't know if there's a magic number. I think it's a magic situation. I think he needs to be in contention to win the Big Ten West. I think that's it. You really, maybe not. If there's mitigating circumstances, then maybe maybe it'd be okay if he doesn't win the Big Ten West. But in your fifth year, come on. You got to win the Big Ten West, dude. If you want to keep your job, you want to stick around. They're all your players, and you've already done your reorganization thing. And there you go. I don't know. Patrick McCarthy comes in here talking smack. Bradley Warnick, we are seeing teams select head coaches already because of the early signing period. Will this impact when Frosty picks his OC and staff? You can't really do anything until the season's over. I mean, you're probably going to be hiring some of these on staff at a different position someplace else. So I would not expect to see anything. Plus, this isn't something that I don't see them doing immediately or having done right away. And maybe I'm completely wrong about that, but I would hope that they take their time to figure out who they can work with. And most of all, who Scott Frost is going to really actually trust to take over the offense, if that's what he's going to do. We'll do this for a few more minutes. Pretend Scott Frost got fired this year. Who comes to mind as a top replacement? Lincoln Riley? No. I'm not a really there you go. I can put you on timeout, dude. I'm not as enamored with Lincoln Riley as I think other people. It's kind of like Spencer Rattler. I was really never enamored with Spencer Rattler. A replacement? Damn, I really haven't thought about that either. You know who was always interested in me is I think it's Chris Kleiman from Kansas State, because those guys, those guys just constantly do more with less. And maybe the guy from Coastal Carolina. I really hadn't prepared for this question. I guess it's a moot point. Dan Mullen. Because he's going to be gone soon. You know what else who'd be interesting? Would be Tom Herman for an offensive coordinator, or maybe head coach. Maybe he could come in as offensive coordinator next year and then become the head coach when Frost is let go, and he'd keep the entire defensive staff. Because I think if you're looking at Texas right now, they're probably thinking, why the hell did we fire this guy? Because, they suck. It's terrible. Okay. You know what? I think that's going to be it, because I learned from doing an hour. I think the last show I did that really it's damn difficult to just talk a lot and do this by yourself. I thank everybody for showing up. We'll see what happens with live shows as time goes on. If I can keep them consistent on a Monday night so people know when they're happening, maybe we'll keep doing them through basketball season and baseball. Because baseball, I love baseball. We'll see what happens. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. Take care of yourselves. I hope we'd be, one more thing, because there's always one more thing. It's like Peter Falk and Columbo. If we beat Wisconsin somehow and we beat Iowa, we're going to a bowl game. Because we'd be at 5-7. And we will be a team that people will go, hey, how about a bowl game, Nebraska? We know your fans are hungry to travel. And all of you would get off your asses and go to whatever bowl game we go to, even if it was the Pinstripe Bowl in New York, wouldn't you? I'd love to go to New York. I've never been to New York City. But we would all be going to a bowl game. So, there's still hope. God, why did I say that? Oh, well. Take care of yourselves. I hope you're all having a good week. Thanks for joining me. And thanks for the compliments. I appreciate it. Bye.